This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The former Apple Street Market in Northside will soon be renovated to offer 57 affordable housing units with the goal of providing living opportunities to LGBTQ seniors or people aged 55 or older. Apple Street Senior was brought about through a partnership between Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, and Penrose Development. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about Apple Street Senior, our NEST Executive Director, Sarah Thomas. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We also have with us a couple of representatives from Penrose. We have the Regional Vice President, Lasair Bradley. Lasair, thank you for being with us.
Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity.
And we have developer Amber Seeley Marks with us as well. Amber, hello.
Hello, happy to be here.
And also joining us in our studio today is the Executive Director of Caracole, Linda Sider. Linda, thank you for being on the program
as well.
If you have questions or comments about this LGBTQ senior housing development in Northside, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Sarah, take us to Northside and how conversations about this particular project started.
Yeah, so NEST has been working primarily on residential single-family housing for a long time, since 2005 in the neighborhood, and over the last few years we've looked to expand that scope. And this site, which was a former Save-A-Lot grocery, which has been vacant since 2013, it was purchased by NEST with the assistance of a community development block grant loan through the City of Cincinnati. And the entire conversation with Penrose really started when we put out a request for qualifications, which was in 2019. Everything was due back to us by May. Our board, with some community, some community members and some input from the City of Cincinnati, we selected Penrose out of 8 respondents to that request, and then we started concepting based on what we knew, you know, tax credits would be available, what we'd like to see on the site, the level of affordability, and what would really fit well within Northside. And the idea did come up rather quickly, but we still spent a decent amount of time researching all of our options. But then through talking with a lot of our partners, like Linda here today, and a lot of stakeholders within this type of housing community, we saw the great need and knew that it would be a good fit for Northside.
You saw a great need for LGBTQ senior housing.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, and so when you're beginning to look at that need, what were you looking at? How do you begin to assess the need for that?
Well, so we talked to a variety of service partners locally and also nationally. There's an organization called SAGE, which we're all familiar with or will get familiar with within this conversation. And LGBTQ seniors just really, they have not been, a subset of or a housing community or population that has been thought about greatly. And if you think about it just in a broader scale, the first and second generation of people that are welcome to feel openly gay or out in their communities in this country, they're now aging. And so we have this community that needs affordable housing, they need safe housing, they need those social services that go with those things, and they need to live in a welcoming and supportive community. So it is independent living. It's studios, 1 bedrooms and 2 bedrooms, but it just provides a great place where people can live independently, know that they're welcome to be at home in their community, and also get social services that they need to supplement their life.
We noted that the plan is to offer 57 affordable housing units. Is that the total number of units that would be part of the project? So all of them would be affordable. And we also want to note that while this is being made available to LGBTQ seniors, that it's open to anyone over the age of 55, right? There's not to be any
that
particular reverse discrimination, I suppose, is a bad way to
correct.
Say it.
So it is 57 total units. And the idea being that, of course, there's a great need for affordable housing across all communities and spectrums, especially in Cincinnati. But this is just a really kind of a dive into social services, again, just creating a safe space. It's a little bit of an extra nod to something that we know exists within that greater need. But of course, it is open to whomever would like to apply.
And right now we're speaking with the Executive Director of Northsiders Engaged in Sustainable Transformation, or NEST, Sarah Thomas, about the forthcoming Apple Street Senior Housing Project. And Sarah, what are some of the programming or services that you would expect to be included that would target this particular demographic among our senior population?
Sure. So as you'll see in a lot of other affordable housing developments and senior family, no matter the type, you design services, whether they be just casual kind of everyday life needs or community events or really built-in structured things like medical care. Those are always tailored to whoever's most to benefit in that situation. So I will, I think, eventually turn it over to Linda, who can talk the Certainly. Most about Caracol. But just to answer your question overall, it'll be a healthy mix of what would benefit most an independent living individual or couple in that environment, which would be things like just light medical services, social programming, community programming, and helping with just kind of basic daily life activities within that neighborhood.
And before we turn the conversation to our developers who are here from Penrose, let's do bring in Linda Sider, the executive director of Caracol. Linda, Caracol has had a long history in Cincinnati, but for those of us who don't have the familiarity with it, just give us a brief explanation
sure.
of what Caracol is
right.
and its history here.
In a sentence or two, we've been around for 33 years now, providing services for people living with HIV. We provide case management services, housing, and care, basically, for people living with HIV. In terms of this particular project, one, we're really excited because it's right around the corner from us, which is great, in Northside. And we have a variety of services I think we can provide for this population. One, particularly around prevention, we can do HIV, STI, education, testing, and supportive services. We also have a program that helps people access PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis drug for HIV, which certainly this is a population that we would target and would be at risk, so we're excited about that. And out of our housing programs, right now we have about 172 units of permanent supportive housing that we basically manage, most of which is scattered site, some of which is site-based. But one, there's a huge shortage of affordable housing for people in general, and particularly for those with disabilities. So we're really excited about this. And looking at our demographics in terms of who is living in our housing, 60% are over 55 years of age. And it was interesting when we looked at that, thinking, wow, this is a fantastic option for our clients in terms of safe and affordable housing with services close to our building and all of that. So it's perfect for us. We really hope to place some of our clients in the building and, again, provide services for them.
Well, let's talk about some of the needs that your clients face. So what are you hearing in your organization from people who might benefit from this type of housing? Do you often hear that there's not a lot of options for them?
Absolutely. Finding safe and affordable housing is almost, it's getting to be more and more difficult in this city. There are fewer and fewer pockets of affordable housing, and they aren't necessarily the kinds of housing that's safe or really appropriate for the people we serve. So this is a fantastic option. And, you know, for low-income people, the options are so limited. And then you add living with HIV and wanting a supportive community. The other issue we see is we have a lot of people who have lived with HIV for decades and are fairly lonely, fairly isolated. Some of them lost their entire peer group of friends in the 80s and 90s and still have issues related to that, that their youth was essentially wrecked by HIV and their communities destroyed. So the idea of having a safe place where they can be with people that support them, it would be huge.
In what way do you think?
Well, you know, we have people that live in relative isolation that still have a lot of shame about living with HIV, even if they have for decades. And because they've lost so many of their friends, I mean, it's almost like having PTSD. So being surrounded by support is so important.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. I want to offer some statistics that were published by the organization SAGE, the New York City-based agency that's engaged in similar efforts here. They say that there are 48% of older same-sex couples in the country have experienced housing discrimination. And they also note that there is a predicted population of LGBT elders in the United States by 2030 of 7 million. Let's reintroduce our developers who are on the program with us today. They are from the development firm Penrose. We have Regional Vice President Lasser Bradley, and we have developer Amber Seeley Marks. Lasser, talk a little bit about your organization's involvement in this project and how you became a part of it.
Absolutely. Penrose is a 40-plus-year-old development company and originally founded in Philadelphia. We're now in 16 states, D.C., and growing. We often do redevelopment in urban neighborhoods. And so this takes on a variety of forms. We're often, our focus is on housing, but because of the various locations and sites that we deal with mixed-use development. So really in everything that we're developing, we're trying to identify what are the needs of the neighborhood and the community that we're becoming a part of, because every redevelopment effort is a significant change to a community. And then what are the needs and opportunities relative to our residents and tenants that might be commercial? So we really are trying to be, in large part, just responsive to the community that we're coming into. And nobody knows the community better than the people who live there already. And we don't take the attitude that we come in and have a, you know, one-size-fits-all solution that we're just looking for a site to plop it down. We come in with an open mind. And so when Ness put the RFP out, it was a perfect opportunity for us because we found a lot of success in partnering with community development corporations similar to Nest, because they both have an understanding of the development process, the challenges, the difficulty. It's sometimes a messy process. We sometimes refer to it as making the sausage. Nobody likes it, but it's something you got to go through to get to the end result. And so the CDCs often understand that part of it, are supportive in that regard, understand the long time frame that these things can take, but then also have that local knowledge and understanding of what are the particular needs and opportunities in this neighborhood. So coming into that kind of partnership is an ideal opportunity for Penrose. And so doing that and joining them in this endeavor, we were very excited to really, as Sarah mentioned, we did come to this idea relatively quickly, but we also took a step back and looked at a variety of opportunities and options for that property.
Amber, let's talk about some other projects that perhaps your organization has worked on that's similar to this. Have you engaged in the development of properties that are designed to house LGBTQ seniors?
That's right, we have. Penrose has been involved in three projects that focus on serving LGBTQ seniors. The first one in Philadelphia, the John C. Anderson Project, opened in 2014. And has a partnership with an organization similar to Caracol that provides services to individuals living there. Also in New York, we have Haven Green, which is in Brooklyn. And that project has multiple service partners. And Apple Street, we're going to have Caracol, and we're also going to have the Area Aging Council on Aging as a partner. And then Penrose was also recently selected to be the developer in a project in Boston, in a renovation of a historic school. So we've done this several times, and we're excited about the ways that we can bring our experience with developing this kind of housing to the community and work with such great partners like Nest and Caracol.
So for the property that you have in Philadelphia, which is completed, mm-hmm. what's the response been?
Great response. There's a long waiting list. There's a lot of people who this is just the right housing for them, and they're really excited about it. Part of the reason why we're excited to be on the radio today is to make sure we get the word out so that people know that this is coming, although we're not quite funded yet, so it's not a done deal. But getting people to know that this exists, and as Linda described, the people who are most excited are often those who have been most isolated and most longing for a place to where they feel safe and comfortable. And for, as is the case for many seniors, they have difficulty accessing services. So being in a place where the services are going to come to them is really ideal, while it's also affordable.
Well, we're going to talk about what affordable means. We're going to talk about that funding situation and the mechanics involved in bringing this online. We will continue our discussion about Apple Street Senior, the senior housing project coming to the North Side neighborhood. And we are also a little later on going to be talking to the local Poetry Out Loud regional winners. These teens will recite their award-winning works. You're going to want to hear that. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and we continue our discussion now on the new senior housing project coming to the Northside neighborhood here in Cincinnati that will be focused on opportunities for living arrangements for LGBTQ seniors. We're joined today by Nest Executive Director Sarah Thomas. We have representatives from Penrose, the developer of the project. We have the Regional Vice President, LaSarah Bradley, and we have developer Amber Seeley Marks. And also with us is the Director of Caracol, Linda Sider. You can join our conversation as well at 513-419-7100. And so, LaSarah, this is being described as an affordable housing project. And that's different than, say, low income, I suppose, or Section 8 housing. Can you explain what affordable housing means in this context?
Sure. And there's a lot of disparity in terminology in the way these things get defined. But in this case, we are seeking tax credits through the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. It's a federal tax credit, but it comes through a state agency. And that is a capital source. So it helps fund the actual capital improvements to create the project. It is not a source that pays rent or is any other kind of rental subsidy. So we then agree for the long term to structure the rent so that they're affordable to people at certain area median income levels. And those definitions are industry definitions, which effectively means they would not spend more than 30%, a resident would not spend more than 30% of their income on housing. So we take that kind of as a gross maximum number. We reduce it by a utility allowance so that we're sure that utilities are being incorporated into that overall affordability. And then we base it on area median income, which is data that's regularly updated. And then on top of that, we do a market study to make sure how that data is relevant to that local neighborhood and that local market, and then we structure our rents accordingly. In our case, we're focusing, so the tax credits themselves have a requirement that all residents will be at or below 60% area median income, and then we're targeting also a portion of this on what we call, the industry calls very low income, which is 30% area median income. So our rent ranges will be from about $369 all the way up to a little bit over $1,000 for a two-bedroom at that 60% level.
And Amber, can you tell us a little bit about what these units will look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll have most of the units are one-bedrooms. We do have a few studios and a few two-bedrooms. We have been working to design these based on our Penrose's experience with senior housing nationally and what unit layouts work best. We also have solicited some feedback from some local groups, and somebody even joked we should make sure we have large closets. So we've tried to make sure we have large closets wherever possible. And then on the ground floor, we've focused a lot of energy on designing our community spaces and our common areas to provide flexibility to do communal meals or have blood pressure screenings or other on-site services provided directly, and also arrange for transportation and easy pickup and drop off, as well as having lots of conversational spaces for interaction with your neighbors.
Okay. And then I'm also joined today by the executive director of NEST, the Northside organization, Sarah Thomas. And Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about how this loan from the city through their federal funding works for you and how it will be repaid? Can you just give us sort of an explanation of how all that works?
Absolutely. So NEST is Northside's Community Redevelopment Corporation. Most neighborhoods in Cincinnati have one. And we've often worked with the city for either loans or grants or subsidies for the housing work that we do. So this is by far the largest partnership financially we've had with them. And it is called a Community Development Block Grant. It is HUD funding that passes through the city's Department of Community and Economic Development. Lots of very similar names and acronyms here. And so NEST went to the city. This site was formerly a Save-A-Lot grocery. It closed in 2013 and has been vacant since then. It's a very large, integral piece of property right in the middle of our business district. And NEST actually, previous to this, was working for quite a few years with a group that wanted to open a co-op grocery store in the space, reusing the structure that was there. Unfortunately, the funding fell apart for that in multiple layers. And so once it went out to the request for qualifications, we knew we were still on track because that funding depends on either job or housing creation, and then it becomes a forgivable loan as opposed to a loan. So those details are all worked into knowing that we have to pick someone that's qualified and produce a really feasible and contributing end product on the site so that we can then go back and meet the requirements outlined in that type of funding.
So I guess the outcome could be that this isn't something that you have to pay back.
If we meet certain requirements and are able to produce it, there are development timelines tied in with that, but we work directly with the city on that. That is correct.
Linda Sider is the executive director of Caracol, which is working as a partner in this project. And Linda, I want to talk a little bit about Northside's relationship historically with the LGBTQ community, because I remember coming up in my younger days and knowing that that was sort of the central hub. I mean, the Pride Parade used to be there, and things have moved a little bit, but that just talk a little bit about that for us.
That's a great question. So Northside has a huge history in terms of being supportive of the LGBT community. I've lived there since the 80s, and I remember, you know, one of the first markers, one of the first big things that happened was Crazy Ladies Bookstore, which older viewers or listeners might remember.
We've had the Crazy Ladies on the show, or at least a couple who talked very fondly about it.
Yes. It was an amazing bookstore. It was Cincinnati's first lesbian bookstore. And so that, you know, brought people to the neighborhood who didn't know about Northside. People started buying houses, renovating them. Unfortunately, during that time, we also had several people die of HIV living in the neighborhood. But we were sort of known as sort of the gay neighborhood in Cincinnati, the gay-friendly neighborhood. We had a large proportion of gay bars at that time, still do. And anyway, yeah, and the Pride Parade was there. We've been a neighborhood that has certainly embraced everyone.
I think we've got time for a quick phone call, so let's go to the line now. We have Connor on the line. Hi, Connor. What's your question or comment?
Hey, I think this is great what you all are doing. I just had a couple of quick questions. I understand that this is for the LGBT community, which is a great thing to do, but I was just wondering, how do you market this towards that community without being discriminatory towards other groups? And my second question is, since this is for that community, will these apartments be different from what we're used to with from other apartments, or will they be about the same?
Okay, Connor, we appreciate the call, and we'll see if our panel can address those questions. So first, let's talk about the marketing, and you're targeting LGBTQ seniors. How do you do so without possibly discriminating against other people?
Yeah, thank you. This is Lacerre. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate the question. It's a great question. First and foremost, you know, we're housing developers. This is our business. This is what we do. And so we are very careful to always make sure we're following fair housing laws. And there, we don't want to fall into, I think you used the term earlier, reverse discrimination. We're not looking to do that at all. This is about identifying needs in a community and trying to provide for those needs. And so the two keys that I would say to that are partnerships, which we've talked a lot about Caracol. We've talked about Council on Aging, which is helping us identify all of the services and needs around seniors as they age in place in the neighborhood. We've talked about SAGE as an organization that has provided a lot of research and information, and then our past experience. And then the second key to that, once we've identified and then created a plan to provide for those needs, is how do we let people know about it? And it's all about affirmative marketing. And so it's about putting the information out to groups so that people can be aware of this opportunity. And then we provide both those services, and we provide training for our staff so that we're ensuring an inclusive and welcoming environment. So it's not intended to exclude anybody. It's intended to provide for specific needs that LGBTQ seniors that are aging in place may have.
And I don't want to answer Connor's second question for you, but it sounds like from what you've said earlier that these are just going to be nice units that you might see in any development, but just with some opportunities and maybe some larger closets.
That's right. And then the units will be similar, and the community spaces may be larger than are available in other community and other apartment buildings, so that we can host events and provide services.
What's our timeline very quickly?
Well, we've applied for these tax credits, so we're waiting to hear back from OFA. That'll be in May. And assuming funding, we'll move right into the refinement of the design, working with Nest and their committee on those elements. And then we would like to close on the financing by the end of the year, first of the next year, and be under construction right away.
Okay. Amber Lacerre and Linda and Sarah, thank you all for being with us today. We appreciate the conversation very much. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.